gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Mark chapter 10, shall we? Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20 for a few moments, just as a reference, Matthew chapter 20, where we have the same incident brought before us, verse 29 of Matthew 20. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, we bow before thee and thank thee for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation. And we thank thee for many in this audience tonight who have believed it and have passed from death unto life. Know the joy of sins forgiven and the relationship and fellowship with thyself. We pray for any who are in this audience tonight who are still strangers to this wonderful Savior. We thank thee that tonight Jesus is still passing this way. So we pray that thou wilt give grace and help in speaking thy word, and that thou wilt use it in blessing, and that some precious soul tonight may call upon him. For thou hast told us in thy word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless thy word wherever it goes forth. We commit ourselves to thee in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son. Amen. I have read these two incidents, this one incident to you from these two Gospels, because you might think, for instance, that perhaps there is a contradiction. In the Gospel according to Matthew, we have brought before us that there were two men. And in the Gospel according to Mark, we have one man brought before us, and that is Mark. That is Bartimaeus. And the question is, well, why does it bring before us that there were actually two men, but only one man, you might say, is singled out in the Gospel according to Mark? Well, you know, the Gospel of Matthew is the Gospel of the King. And because the Gospel of Matthew presents to us the Lord Jesus Christ as King, he came with the credentials to prove that he was really the Messiah that the Scripture speaks of in the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us very clearly that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established, and shall every witness be established. And so the reason why it brings before us that there were actually two men that were healed Because in the Gospel according to Matthew, we have a special witness to the Messiahship of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here in the Gospel of Mark, and of course as we compare these two accounts, there are certain points that we want to notice for a few moments. You might say that in the Gospel according to Matthew, why it tells us when Jesus looked upon these men, he had compassion upon them. And my friend, as the Lord looks upon you as you are in your sins, the Lord has compassion upon you. That is, my friend, that he loves you, and that he really and truly desires your blessing. And then we have brought before us how in the Gospel of Matthew, it tells us that he touched them, just as each one of us must come in contact with our Lord Jesus. But I want to concentrate especially on this account in the Gospel according to Mark. And I think that if I were to give it a title, I would give it the title, From Monotonous Existence to Purposeful Living. From Monotonous Existence to Purposeful Living. And as we look at this incident, there are three things that are suggested to me as I look at them. First of all, the monotonous existence of this man. Then secondly, his momentous opportunity. And then thirdly, the marvelous transformation that took place in the life of this man when he came in contact and had the experience of salvation and light through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, of course, it's, you might say, premised by the fact that the Lord Jesus says, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That brings before us the tremendous mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You know, friends, we think here of his monotonous existence. I suppose when this lad was born into that Jewish home, why, they were just reveling in delight. Because you know, if there's anything that the Hebrews desired, that was to have a son. Because the son born into the family meant that the name of the family would be carried on and would not perish from the annals of Israel. And of course, as this child was born, why, they were delighted. But of course, as time went on, they discovered that the little child was blind. And that's the way he grew up. He grew up in blindness, as far as we know. Now, of course, I think of a conference that was in existence in Detroit, Michigan one time, and a brother was speaking from this portion, and he says, you know, a person that is blind is one that cannot see. And two preachers sitting in the front, one said to the other, that is a profound thought. Well, the fact of the matter is that this man could not see. He was blind. And friend, that's the condition of each and every soul. Every soul is by nature and by practice blind. A blind person doesn't see where he is going. And that is true of many unsaved people tonight. They don't know where they are going. If you were to ask them tonight, if you were to die tonight, where would you be? Would you be in heaven with Christ, or would you be in that awful place called hell? And you say, well, I don't know. I hope for the best. I try for the best. I try to live the best kind of life. But after all, none of us can be sure of that. But you know, friend, the fact of the matter is, if you're sitting in this meeting tonight and you don't know where you are going when you leave this world, my friend, I beseech you tonight, don't give any rest to your heart or to your mind, because till you know, because it is possible for you to know. But you know, a blind person not only doesn't see where he's going, but a blind person doesn't see any of the beauty that is around him. They don't see the beauty of the Bahamas. They don't see the beauty of the ocean. They don't see the beauty of the stars and the sunrise and the various things. They see none of the beauty that there is around them. You can point them to the most beautiful flower, to the most beautiful sight, but a blind person sees not the beauty that is around them. And so, my friend, the unsaved person sees nothing in Christianity. I don't see what they get all excited about. After all, what is there in all of this teaching about Jesus and about the Christian life? I don't see anything in it. It just seems to be dry to me, and I don't see anything in it. My friend, if that's your condition tonight, you say, I don't understand it. You know, there was a Japanese young fellow, and he thought the preaching was of Christianity, the preaching of the cross was foolishness. He was walking down the street one day, and he heard some singing. He just loved music. And so he drew near, and they were singing gospel songs. And a young man got up, and he preached, and he spoke. And he says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And he emphasized how foolish it is to think that a person who died on the cross 1900 years ago could avail to save a sinner in our modern civilization. And he says, well, that's just what I thought. I've always thought that it was foolishness, and that's what he's saying. He's saying how foolish it is. And then the young fellow went on to say that it's foolishness to them that are perishing. And you know that spoke to you. I'm perishing. It's foolishness to me because I'm perishing. And my friends, it woke him up and made him realize that he needed this wonderful Savior who died on the cross for sinners. But you know, a blind person usually gets in the way of other people. You usually have to watch a blind person because he'll get in your way. And my friend, that's true of the unsaved person that's blind. He gets in the way of sinners. A young fellow was concerned about his soul, and when the evangelist spoke to him, he says, I don't think that I need salvation. I know the best living man on the face of the earth, and he has no heart, he has no mind, he has no desire for this gospel. Who is it? It's my father. He's a dentist, and he's the best living man that I know. The evangelist went to him and said to him, my dear sir, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, well, I don't think of him at all. He said, do you realize that you're standing in the way of your son and that you are the stumbling block in the path of your son and that your son is going to go into a lost eternity because he doesn't think he needs Jesus as his Savior and you're the one that's standing in his way because he thinks you're the epitome of a perfect life. Ah, that woke that man up. That made him think. That made him to become concerned. Concerned because he was standing in the way of his son. And concerned so much, my friends, that it awakened him and brought him to the fact that he needed the Savior. And you know, the blind person stumbles over things. Yes, they do. They stumble over things. I stumble over the idea that this can be the Word of God. This book that is compiled, I stumble over the idea that Jesus can be God. That Jesus, by His death on Calvary, you know, there are so many contradictions in the Bible. Have you really read it? Have you really found those contradictions? Are they really contradictions? Or is it because your own mind is incapable of taking in what the Word of God tells us? The Word of God tells us the natural man receiveth not of the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Yes, my friend, perhaps you stumble over the Word of God. Perhaps you say, well, I don't understand it. I come to it and I just amass a confusion. Well, there was another man just like that. He was riding in a chariot in the desert when Philip was sent to him, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And he was asking, as he read the prophet Isaiah, who does the prophet speak of? Does he speak of himself, or does he speak of another man? And Philip began to preach unto him Jesus. And he preached unto him Jesus, and the result was that that Ethiopian eunuch was brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But you know, friends, the greatest trouble with a blind person is that that person is in